Hello, interwebs, and welcome to the last episode of Close Up. I mean, the 100th episode of Close Up. We're here to do a celebration, a retrospective of our last 100th episodes. Last 100 episodes. It's number 100, and I still can't speak properly, which is going to be a point to bring up. We're going to talk to you today about how we came up with the idea for this show, how performing on this show has changed us as people and made us better reviewers, better internet personalities, talk about some of our potential plans for the future, and just walk you through the journey of the podcast that is Close Up. So, probably good to talk about how it all started from the very beginning. Do you want to have any points to bring up first, or should I say my side of it from what you recall?
From what I recall, I remember messaging you because I kept seeing your Facebook posts about your movie reviews, the recent ones that were coming out around 2020 or 2021, whatever, pandemic, they all mushed together. And I just kind of messaged you. I was like, hey, you should start a podcast. And then I messaged you. I was like, no, wait, we should start a podcast. Because I've been wanting to do like a film podcast with a bunch of even like some college friends at the time. But they weren't really up for it or didn't want to do like the time or the commitment to do it, which is fine. You know, it's not for everybody.
Yeah.
And then that's kind of how it started for me.
From my angle, I'd been writing movie reviews for a couple years by that point. I started, I'd say around the pandemic was when I was locked down for so long and had nothing to do. So I say, hey, let's revive the dead Thought Play Media website and put film reviews on there. I can do that. Sure. I recently actually wrote an article about my first foray into film reviews, which was a video review series for YouTube, which I only did 3 episodes of because it's a lot harder than the YouTube reviewers make it look. It took a lot of editing and my on-camera presence wasn't very good, which is something I'm definitely going to talk about pretty soon going into this. But that video review series not turning out the way I wanted was almost the sole reason I never did a podcast of my own before we started one. Because even just those couple videos were like, well, I'm not that great at speaking off the cuff. I stutter a lot and stammer and look like a real fool up here. And the only times I actually looked halfway decent were when I scripted the whole thing start to finish, which you can do a podcast that way. But for film reviews, it just wouldn't work. My voice has always been better as a writer, so the written reviews seemed like a better way to go. I did, however, have a caveat which said if somebody wanted to do the podcast with me, I think I can have a conversation. I can't ramble for an hour about movies on my own, but I will talk to somebody. So then you commented on that Facebook post that one time, and I'm like, oh, Ryan Walker. I haven't talked to this guy in 5 years, not since second year university when you switched out of York to go to acting. I'm like, you know what? I liked him back then and, you know, he had a good head on his shoulders. I think he'd have some interesting things to say. Can't hurt. If it's good, then maybe we could keep it going, maybe for at least 100 episodes. If not,
and
well,
here we are.
I'll kick myself for saying we didn't try. So we gave it a shot, and I think we even acknowledged in that first episode that this is literally the first time I'm talking to you in 5 years when we turned on those cameras.
So that's why I love the first episode so much, because we didn't like audibly talk to each other until that day. So we're both so nervous to, even though we both liked the movie and it was the Batman,
our first one.
I thought the Batman was the first.
Batman was
really
our second
the Book
one.
Of Boba Fett?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Actually, Batman was our third technically, because we had a technical gaffe on the second one where I didn't plug in my microphone properly. And this is before I had my soundproofing wall all set up. So on the second one, I didn't record it at all properly. And fun fact, that whole, I guess it's episode three now, is all compiled together through VoiceOver and just stitching it together for my part anyway.
I remember seeing that.
So the Batman one was really our third show, but it's episode two. Huh. But yeah, Book of Boba Fett, that was our first episode, and it went pretty well, considering. It was kind of a reintroduction to us, and I'm like, well, who's to say our chemistry is even going to work on camera? I don't know.
Yeah, and it's kind of good we start off with stuff that we had similar opinions on, especially with like the Book of Boba Fett, and then it was the Batman. That's crazy. I guess I had those two mixed up. I guess maybe because in my mind, the Batman was like the first movie review. So then, but yeah, it was like, that's what was funny about it. Another police car. Come on now. People stop dying. The first episode, I just find it's like really funny because we're both taking our time and trying not to speak over each other. And now we just don't care. Or, like, it just feels a bit more natural to, like, not speak over each other in a rude way. But just kind of, like, it's just a more naturalistic, like, dialogue. It's the first episode's so wooden, but it's so funny.
All right. So we just got interrupted there by a technical malfunction. Realized that about 6 minutes worth of the recording was unusable. So got to restart a bit. Forgive me if I overlap with anything I talked about in that first 6 minutes. Just trying to get through it now. But where it started cutting out was when I began talking about how frustrating that first episode was because of the video lag between us. How it was difficult to judge when you were speaking, if we were going to cut each other off or leave way too much of a gap of dead air in between just to make sure we both ended our sentences properly. So we both had to get into a flow to learn how it went. And that was my fault because internet connection up where I live, not comparable to Toronto in the least. So that made things pretty difficult in the beginning. And then in the cutoff section, you talked a bit about how there was so much dead air in those first couple episodes, which also my fault because that's a problem partially because of the video lag and also because I went out of my way in the audio editing bay to cut out every stammer and breath possible to make me in particular sound like I was speaking with a better flow because, well, I still don't really, but it was even worse in those first couple episodes. And that was what I was happy with because leaving all my, you know, that would sound so much even worse, right? But audio editing was a major hassle for me on those first couple because I had no idea what I was doing. I was working with outdated audio editing software. I had extensive history with video editing for sure, but then audio was always just kind of that thing where I'm like, yeah, good enough if I can hear it. But I actually had to buckle down and pay attention to close-ups audio because, well, podcasts are all audio, aren't they? It has to sound good at the very least. And those first couple episodes did not because, well, I was working in a sunroom that didn't have any good acoustics whatsoever. I was working on a subpar mic. I didn't have the tools in my programs necessary to fix the audio properly. And also we hadn't learned yet that separate audio recording tracks were better. I was naive enough to think that the combined video track from, well, Zoom at the time was adequate enough. But when there's such a disparity between the mics you and I are using, and I can't separate our tracks out, it became real hell to do that. So we learned very quickly, got to be separate tracks. So I can edit you, yeah. And I'll edit myself. And then the second episode we did, the Marvel one, that
it
was
starting
just
again.
Really?
Yeah.
And that second Marvel episode we did was just a complete write-off because I was an idiot and forgot to plug my mic in for that one. I thought I had everything all going well. Everything was recording great. I guess I was recording absolutely nothing, though. So even though we learned that lesson the first time of get separate audio tracks, oh, I had your track and then a joint track I had to mess around with again. And I think the best I could do at a certain point was I had to go in by hand and erase all of my parts out of it just to give you and me a separate, like I had to go in and basically just erase each other's audio. So I had two tracks I could work with. And that would not be the last time I had to do that, unfortunately. Stuff happens in this last 100 episodes. Not fun. Very much not fun. I've had a stupid amount of difficulties, which even tonight continue and piss me off royally.
We can't celebrate close up without having a few technical difficulties. It's just part of the show.
Everything to just work as it should. Why does tech have to fail me?
Oh my God.
I own the user errors. That's fine. I've done enough of those. But the tech failing just pisses me off and I can't. I am not in a good mood right now. We had multiple tech failures in the last 20 minutes. I'm tired. I'm want to celebrate the 100th.
It's crazy, man. I completely forgot we did like the first 20-ish episodes on Zoom or something.
Yeah.
I completely forgot about that.
Did we ever try Skype or did we just go from Zoom to Discord?
We never tried Skype. I think Skype was too old of a program. So we did Zoom and then we just went straight to Discord.
The thing that got us off Zoom was when they changed their business practices to you can't have a recording over an hour. So it completely messed up our flow every time we were going to go over, or was it?
Yeah. It was 40 minutes. You couldn't go over 40 minutes unless you paid like an extra subscription or something.
But we were shooting for a long episode. So every episode had to cut in two and it killed our flow.
It was great. And then we'd always start up again. Like, what was I talking about? And then I think by like the seventh Zoom recording, or maybe it was even later, I don't know why we stuck with it so long. I just messaged you, was like, can we try Discord or something? Like, it's like 10 times easier to do that.
And we've been on Discord ever since.
Yeah, Discord has worked. So,
speaking of technical problems, if I've had a lot, but I don't think I've ever had one with Discord.
No.
It's been very consistent for us.
Yeah. Shout out to Discord.
Yeah. Going back to tech problems for a minute, those are a big problem of, okay, so I don't remember how many episodes I did with my old blue snowball mic, but that one was a really old mic to start with, and I'm not sure I ever used it correctly necessarily because it had multiple settings on it. I'll admit I didn't really know what I was doing with it, but it was also just giving me, well, kind of like I'm getting tonight, just these weird crackling sounds, wasn't doing very well for me. And I'm like, oh man, Ryan always sounds so much better than me on all these recordings. I sound awful. I mean, like, you can hear me, but it's not pleasant. So then I upgraded my mic with $80 Mayono mic I found on Amazon. And I'm like, you know what? Sure, I can afford an $80 mic. Whatever. And then that one did well for me too. It's a good condenser mic for, I believe is the proper. Yeah, it's a good mic, but it was really sensitive was the problem. I couldn't project my voice very much. I had to talk moderately and quietly every episode. I couldn't raise my voice or get excited about anything. Otherwise, it would peak and I'd be out of luck for audio editing again. Couldn't make it sound right. So I had to exercise a lot of vocal control. And then I said, screw that. I'm saving up a little over $1,000 and just buying an audio setup I can use for a very, very long time. And that's the one I've been with for about half the show now. So, and I'm going to keep going with it. But then I had tech failures on that too. My replacement parts just came in, so.
Nice.
I've managed to work without it.
Yeah.
Work without my.
I should probably upgrade my mic to kind of the same setup you have, just because I feel like when listening back on a lot of podcasts, I can tell how much, like, not only I peak, but I'm just so much louder than you are. And it's not as, because I'm listening to the podcast, right? So there's no visual aid as well. And there are times where I peak because I get too passionate about topics.
Yeah, there's also.
Or maybe I just need to like figure it out in my settings.
Well, part of the thing is you're recording a lot of times in stereo, and my mic records in mono. Like, it doesn't. In the end, the podcast file ends up as mono anyway. So I kind of. You end up getting crushed down no matter what. Mine doesn't have as much variation from when we finish these episodes to when it's actually out there. Yours goes through a lot more compression.
Yeah, for sure. And yeah. It's also mine's like a USB mic too. It's a Blue Magic 10-year-old mic. So
you got to.
It's going to have different.
Which you then have to send to me through email, so that gets compressed there. So like So you're exporting this file, which you're recording right now, that gets condensed, and then you're sending it to me through email, that gets condensed again, and then I throw it through editing software, that gets condensed some more, and then I export the final version of it. That's you're getting condensed a lot in there.
Yeah.
Whereas mine is just crazy. Recording right here. Take the large USB file right to my editing computer, and it's basically the same from start to finish. And it's also an XLR mic, which is higher quality just out the gate.
Yeah.
So we're still working out some kinks on this show, but it's not an issue I've ever had a sticking point with, because you sound perfectly good. So it's not like the discrepancy is so large that it's like, Ryan, you need to switch right now.
Yeah. Well, that's good, at least. I remember I used to, when recording stuff, not for this show, but just like in general, if I had like needed a laptop mic, I would use, I think it was like one of those mics you would get for like a Wii game for like karaoke.
Oh, yeah.
And that was a USB mic as well. And that kind of worked.
I had those.
But.
Still do.
Yeah. Cheap. They're like $15.
Yeah. For sure. I don't remember if this part got cut off when I talked about how awful audio editing was for me, that it took 6 hours per episode in the early days to get a product I was halfway
over. Yeah, you were miserable.
Yeah, that was a long week. And now it takes me less than an hour. So it like back then, I think this part got cut off when I said that if we ever had an episode over an hour, I really hated us that week. Because the way I was doing it, I was doing our audio file separate, right? So it basically took as long as the audio file ran for me, and then as long as it ran for you. So if we did an hour and a half podcast, that was an hour and a half minimum on my audio, hour and a half on yours, then long on video as well, just to make it all work. And because I had so many tech failures, there were more problems than I could solve. It was a miserable time. Now it's less than an hour from start to finish. It's easy. I don't waste near as much time on it. The only plus I'll give all that time, though, is that it gave me a lot more time with the tools to understand better what I was doing. And then you taught me something when we filmed Crying Over Milk, which made my life way easier, was presets. Because I never really...
Yeah.
I was doing everything from scratch every single time. And then you're like, hey, there's these things called presets. You can just plug all your information into one little file and hit apply. I'm like, you can do that? Well, there's all my time saved. Thanks. So
yeah, it's like one of those things where when you learn about like filmmaking or editing, it's like when you learn about it, you hate your past self for not knowing about it because of how simple it is. So especially with like presets or even different editing tools too, it's great. But I'm in the same boat with you, like in terms of filmmaking and editing. I consider myself an editor, but not an audio editor. Like I don't understand most of it because I guess I never really took like a whole class on like what a compressor is, you know, denoiser, like what it actually affects. Everything I've done in terms of audio editing and even what I did for like presets, I watched YouTube tutorials on. Like, I still don't know if it sounds good. It sounds decent, but I don't know if it sounds good.
Yeah, for sure. I bet if an audiophile analyzed my work, they'd find a lot to hate about it. But I'm comparing my work to my past self and seeing close up 100 sounds about 10 times better than episode 10 to me. So.
Which is good. It's what you want.
Yeah. And not just because we have less technical difficulties now than we used to, but it's a lot of little things in the editing. Especially because we're not working in, and even when things are going okay, part of the problem is we're not working in actual studios, right? Like, I think I've shown it on camera before, but I'm working with all this soundproof, like a wall of soundproofing foam in front of me. I'm going to get it all behind my dungeon here too, just to really surround me in soundproofing, which this mic has done a fantastic job at. It's a directional mic, so it's really just focusing on where I'm speaking. It doesn't catch a lot of background noise to start. But my old mics caught the ventilation in the room as well, or the furnace behind me. It was a lot noisier. And your room's got this kind of hum to it as well, if you just listen to the raw as well. So I had to develop...
Yeah, it's because I got my fan going.
I had to develop certain noise prints for each room, which I carry over every episode. But yeah, that's a lot of tech talk for people. They probably want to.
Yeah, that's what sucks about like the recording in my room, because this is literally my bedroom. It's just like my bedroom apartment. I don't have, like, I could build like a soundproof wall and just put it behind me, but it was just like, where do I store that here? I only have so much limited space in my basement apartment. So that's what sucks. It's also like a directional mic too, so it's picking up everything that's behind me. I don't have AC.
I just had a flashback to another awful editing thing. You remember how in the first couple episodes we actually had our DSLRs hooked up to get different angles of our video?
Yeah.
It was our webcam.
That sucked.
And then we had our DSLRs too. And in my editing for the video, I was actually cutting between all those feeds to try and make like, oh, well, let's use this camera angle now. I got four to choose from. That was miserable. That's another thing that took so much time. And that was the first thing I said, Ryan, we can't do this anymore. I don't care if we're stuck on our webcam angles the entire time. I'm scrapping the DSLRs and just throwing up a promotional background behind us. I can't do it.
Which is fair. I mean, the DSLRs looked cool, but like for a podcast that people probably listen to more than watch, it's not really necessary.
The analytics.
You don't need multiple. Yeah. Oh, well.
YouTube.com.
We try our best.
Close up. Watch us.
Please.
Seeing Ryan's reaction in person is better.
Yeah, because this guy says horrendous shit sometimes. Or he'll play devil's advocate to stoke in a reaction for me.
Play devil's advocate for everything. That's
how you get the views, baby.
It's one of the more frustrating aspects of my personality, which I can finally monetize here on this show. So
yeah, exactly.
And then there's a lot of times I gaslight myself into actually believing my devil's advocacy and then just go with it just for the sake of argument. We've had a lot of
it's pretty funny.
Good debates on this show.
We have great debates, fantastic debates, and they're all stoked by fire and fury.
Sometimes black
and passion.
Yeah, that House of the Dragon one was, I think, one of my favorite debates I ever did with you, because that was one of the first ones that when we went into the episode, it was just a typical review episode, but I think I ended up throwing it in the debate playlist afterwards because it got so heated. And that's one of, you know, sometimes we've tried to spark topics that we figure will generate that kind of fury again. Like, I knew The Last of Us Part 2 one was going to get us heated, but The House of the Dragon one was just completely unexpected. Like, oh,
yeah,
I did not
exactly
both feel so strongly about this issue.
It's and that was like kind of the first time where I was like, okay, this could work. Because what? That was like
middle
episode, what?
40 something?
Maybe. Yeah, something like that. Yeah. And yeah, it was just like our real selves debating stuff passionately about it, like strongly believing both sides, not giving leeway. And it was fun. I liked it. Second season coming out in June. I'm excited.
I also, one of my favorite moments from earlier on in the show to intentionally stoke you a bit was episode 14, I think it was. That was the one that got Justin listening, actually, when I showed him that one, was the in defense of Tron and Rocky V. And I didn't tell you we were doing Rocky V, so just that was just reaction, like, ah!
Just to get up and leave. I think I refused to do it for like the first 10 minutes.
Yeah, I tried to carry it as best I could, and then you eventually came in half-heartedly. Well, I guess Tommy Gunn's not all that bad. That's not a quote from Ryan. I won't put those.
No, he's terrible. That Mickey flashback's pretty good.
Yeah. Get up.
That's it.
I didn't hear no quote.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think a lot of running gags in this show come from these debates and just our hot takes in general that piss each other off. Like, I remember one of my favorite clips was, I don't remember if She-Hulk had come out yet, or I think it was before She-Hulk, and you were talking about how awful you thought Daredevil was going to be in the show, and I was just broken. I was just like, I can't do this.
Yeah.
I can't handle the thought of them ruining Matt Murdock as bad as the MCU has ruined some characters.
Yeah, we thought he was going to be like MCU humorized.
Yeah.
Like fully. But luckily he wasn't. Some of my favorite bits are the ones you had to cut out, and that's very rare.
Yeah, that's happened a couple times. I don't remember if I've had to censor myself or you more.
It was probably me.
I remember the first one I censored you on, like, intentionally was the Stranger Things one. No, wait, that was me. I censored myself on that one, not you.
Oh, I think I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
I made an illusion, and I kept in Ryan's reaction where he died laughing for it. But sometimes
that was
on
good.
This show, I figure it's best to censor ourselves. Just, I don't really like the idea of censorship in general, but certain things you say, I'm like, I'm going to get more flack than I'm going to get a good reaction from this. It's just not worth it.
Yeah.
To say
and sometimes out. It's just funnier. It's funny to just be like, oh, what did they say? It's funnier than the actual joke itself.
That one in particular makes me laugh a lot because it's just like, well, okay, well, you're going to make me say it. It sounds like hard cut. Oh, I can't believe you said that.
It's so funny. Upon a rewatch, it's so good. I can't remember if I said it or you said it. I was like, that can't stay in.
I think I said it.
Yeah.
That was, yeah. Maybe we'll tell you on episode 200 what that was.
Maybe. Maybe if we get enough Patreons. Patrons.
Yeah. And then there's the controversies that stay. Like, when I say She-Hulk is my favorite show, that's a soundbite that I've reiterated multiple times.
And then you say Velma's a great show.
Yep. Yep. That one I stand by, controversially. But hot takes are good. I don't buy into the hate on Velma. And She-Hulk, I've actually come around on more over time. I still think if I was just talking with Justin about this the other day. If we were to rewatch She-Hulk, I don't want to rewatch She-Hulk. I feel like that was just it was a harsh experience to go through the first time. But remembering
the
good parts, I enjoy it a lot more in retrospect.
Yeah, it's not that bad.
I still reference it quite a bit, and it makes me laugh thinking about it. Not necessarily watching it, but yeah.
Yeah, because you love Megan Thee Stallion.
That scene nearly made me quit the MCU. But it's still funny to think about in retrospect just how stupid it was. But either way, it's making me laugh. So
it was even more stupid how much they advertised that scene too, like on social media. It's like, we get it. You got Megan Thee Stallion and you got She-Hulk to twerk. Good for you.
Speaking of Justin, he's kind of another running gag on this show, just in general, as one of our only mutual friends. He's just a guy we bring up a lot, and he's actually been on this show. Glad we finally got him on eventually, even though
he still doesn't have a webcam, but
yeah, but he's kind of like our third member in a way sometimes, because a lot of the ideas we've done for this show have been ones he's pitched to me or helped us workshop through, or so a lot of his opinions have seeped into the show, whether he's here or not. He's kind of always here in spirit. He's the guy I turn to most as my chief business partner for most creative endeavors. He's the guy I turn to most for feedback on the show. And a lot of his feedback has shaped some decisions we've made on the show, or helped me out in the editing phase. Like, I remember, once again, this is me being a newbie and stupid with editing, but just a simple suggestion he made, to make good voices, you gotta bring down the middle tones and boost the highs and lows. I'm like, oh, sure. Sounds obvious in retrospect, but I didn't think of that until he mentioned it. So doing stuff like that ever since. And it was an immediate improvement in the quality. Mind you, that wasn't till around episode one of the teen ones, but yeah. So he's contributed majorly to this show. Thank you.
Yeah.
Very much.
He's an audio nutcase. So much so when you guys were over at my on my apartment editing Crying Over Milk, and I saw him going to like the microscopic scale of like lining up audio.
Yep.
Files to match like our audio recording from our from the lav mics to the camera. And I was just like, Justin, nobody's gonna notice. And he's just sitting there, sleep deprived, like, I'll notice. And I was just like, yeah, because nobody does this. It's like, I tell you, everybody does this. Like, no, Justin. It was like an editing thing. He had to go into the settings to like activate something to go into the microscopic thing. It was so funny to me.
Well, another big thing about this show in general is I talked a lot today about how stuttery I was at first, how awful I was at speaking off the cuff. I literally had to retrain the way I spoke because of this show. Editing those first few episodes pissed me off so much. Just hearing myself speak and feeling like an absolute fool, that I made it a willful mission to go through every day speaking better than I used to. I looked up some tips online, some of which I don't always do perfectly, but I had to learn to put gaps in between speaking instead of trying to fill them with filler words. Just leave the thought hanging a little bit. Well, now I'm going even slower trying to think about speaking, because it's always worse when you think about speaking, isn't it?
Yeah. The worst thing that anybody does to themselves is judge on how the way they speak, especially when you hear yourself. Like, I always, whenever I would watch old stuff of that I would create, or even these podcasts, I was like, why are you stuttering? Why do you keep saying like, why blah, 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 blah. And I still stutter to say, I just stuttered 5 minutes ago and it sucks and I hate it, but just kind of like a human factor to do. But it's just trying to train yourself to sound more professional, but like still trying to keep that personal side of you as well. It's like, it's a strange thing to sort of create.
Yeah, I think one big thing that helps me is just, I gotta consciously, every episode, even right now I'm doing it, is tell myself to slow the heck down, because I'm a fast speaker, and I've always had this tendency to, my words get out before the thought's finished. So I'm still trying to think of the next thing I'm saying as I'm talking, and that leads to these pauses in my speech. And it used to be a lot worse, but like I'm saying, with all this conscious thought about how to fix that, I've turned into a better speaker. I don't want to say I'm a good speaker, good enough to keep a podcast going for 100 episodes and not self-loathe as much as usual, but it's an ongoing project of self-improvement.
Yeah, for sure. And it's just going to keep getting better or worse, depending on how things go for both of us.
Well, you already had a little bit of experience to start, right? You took some broadcasting classes in high school or something?
Like, kind of, but it was only for like a week. So it wasn't really like a broadcasting thing. It was more like a, yeah, it was weird. Like, I've had, and doing some stuff in acting school too, they kind of taught you to, especially with improv, to just be more focused. But it, yeah, it's just, it's tough. It's like, I never got like a real, it would have been great to take in like a radio class or a broadcast class in school. That would have been pretty sick. I would rather have done that than one more movement class or a fucking like, or another, what do you call it? Like English course I had to take, or a writing course. Like, so stupid.
More audio problems.
Oh no, we were doing so good, Joe.
Give me a sec. One sec. I'm just getting a way higher gain than I should.
Yeah, but my recording's not picking it up. I don't know.
Yep, that is not recording off my good mic. Another technical difficulty just threw us off there. See, this is a good example. I'm going to have to, no, definitely not. But I'm going to have to do a lot of mix and match and post from the good audio sources. This is a good example on the fly of what I have to go through, people. Not fun. Yeah. Not fun. So, what do you think this show has done for us as reviewers? You think it's made us better talking about movies?
I think it definitely has. I think it also is just kind of, it's both made me a harsher critic and not a harsher critic at the same time. I find I used to be really harsh on just terrible movies, just because it was the popular vote or popular choice to do that. And but now I feel like there, I can see like a lot of good things in some bad movies as well. But then if a movie's like too praised, sometimes I'll find myself being like, well, there's this one thing that bothers me. It's just weird. It's kind of like I've now moved from both extremes to in the middle.
Yeah.
And I've also seen movies that I never thought I would see in theaters. Like Blue Beetle comes to mind. I probably never would have seen that. I probably wouldn't have watched most of the Oscar films for this past year or the year prior if it wasn't for this show. And I'm glad I have. But yeah, I think it's made me just a better movie critic and a movie goer all around. How about you, though?
I agree with everything you said there. And I think part of the reason that we're looking for more nuance in films now is because when you're having a quick discussion with somebody, or even doing a YouTube video, you can rant for a couple minutes or even 10 minutes about, wow, this is the best or worst movie ever. But when you're getting up to hour, hour and a half long podcasts like we do on the regular, you got to find more to say. It can't just be all good or all bad. You got to actually get into the thick of it a little bit and start talking about the details, whether they be good or bad or just okay. You can't do extremes on a show like this as much as the clickbait wants you to. You actually have to have
exactly.
Some takes in the gray.
Yeah, and I think it's, I mean, it would, who knows, right? If we were more like clickbaity, who knows if we were be even more popular. But I think that would be just not true to ourselves, right? Or just be like a bad way to go to that extreme. I mean, there's one podcast that I know I've talked about all the time, the Escape podcast, but one of the co-hosts, he's just like an extreme hater of popular things, but that's just who he is. So I feel like being true to yourself is more important than trying to go for popularity or for the, you know, extreme reaction.
Yeah. Like, think of how many times being, well, let's say, quote unquote, true to ourselves has thrown this show off balance, right? Because we're mostly a review podcast, but a lot of times there's movies out that we don't really want to see. Either you didn't see them or I didn't see them or neither of us were that interested. And then we end up with so what the heck are we going to talk about this week? And yeah, we have a list of things that we may or may not get to, but it's a challenge sometimes to think of ways to fill in the airtime when we don't have new movies we want to see.
Yeah, it's a real challenge. Yeah, it's tough, but also it's like we have our own budgets personally, to see like every single movie that comes out on a bi-weekly basis is so tough, and it's just, it racks up the bills like over time. And I feel like that's fair, you know?
Yeah.
And sue us if we don't want to see mediocre content, all the time.
For the price of a
whole
month,
it's like good, and then and then if it's good, we'll go see it. Or if it's something we're actually interested in, we'll go see it. Like, I don't think either of us really beat each other up for not going to see Transformers Rise of the Beast. No. You know what I mean? Like, even though I've heard the third act or the final battle is fun and kick ass, other than that, I've heard it's crap. So,
like, yeah, and that's why we, that to me is the major reason why we invented the leisure list segment that we do.
Yes.
It's just as a chance to talk about all the things that we didn't mutually see, but still want to discuss at some point. And those episodes are one of my most favorite ones to do because I get to talk about a lot of Same. Niche things that we wouldn't make whole episodes for, like my golden age audio dramas or just random novels I've been reading or whatever I've been watching on TV lately. That's not popular enough to do a whole episode on, but it's just a little bit of everything. It's potpourri for podcasts.
Mm-hmm. They're my favorite to do, but I also dread them because I know we're going to be there for at least 2 hours, like every time,
every time
for that one podcast. We try to go lower, but our lists always like exceed over like watching 20 different things each. So going through them one by one sucks.
And I also dread them for another reason, because I nearly play it like a race against myself. Like every time a leisure list is going to come up, and because we try to do them there's a set amount of time we try to do them, which in the last one we shortened the gap from 12 episodes to 8. But now every time it comes up, I look at all the things I'm watching and I'm like, oh, well, if I get through this season fast enough, I can add it to the list. I just have five more episodes and then it can go on the list. Because I'm like, well, if I don't get those 5 episodes done, I'm going to get 4 episodes done, not throw it on the list. And then if I talk about it on Leisure List, I'm not going to have enough to say about it because I didn't finish the season. And if I wait till the next one, well, that's 8 weeks away and I'm probably going to forget it all. So sometimes I just got to blitz to finish things. So I put pressure on myself that way, but that's just story of my life.
That's what I find like sucks with my leisure list. Sometimes it's a lot of video games, and I've had a bad month where I've been playing like 3 story video games at once and I haven't been either of them. So whenever it's like, yeah, I'm like a third way through this game and it's good so far. And then you just don't have much to say. And that's why my list is so much shorter sometimes, because I'm very much on the playing video games train. I don't know. What the hell does that mean? But yeah, it's a lot of my leisure list.
Well, see, that's the thing about games, right? You know, I watch a lot of movies and TV, but even a whole season of TV, that's a really short game, but that's not the kind of games you play a lot of times. You're lucky to get most games nowadays to last under 30 hours.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's up to over 100. So, yeah, if you're playing games and you even have one completed game on your list, that's, wow, you spent a lot of time on that this month, right? Forget about anything else you got on that list. That's just a bonus at that point.
Yeah, exactly. It's so tough. Like, I had a bad month where I was playing Baldur's Gate and I was just kind of got bored of it. So I started Red Dead Redemption 2, and then Ghost of Tsushima went on sale. So I played the opening, but I was like, no, I can't do this. So there's so much like back catalog stuff I have as well in terms of games. But yeah.
Yeah.
Which sucks because I try to get through that, but then I can't watch new shows that I want to watch. That's the worst part about leisure lists. It's like, okay, how do I balance playing or watching what I want with also kind of like expanding the list so I have a good enough list for a podcast?
Yeah. It's interesting how the list started as a, here's what we're watching, and then we started tailoring what we're watching to the list.
Yeah.
Just so we have content for it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The last leisure list we had, I had very few on, and then I just knowing we were doing a leisure list, just watched like 5 movies, like just to add them to my list. And a lot of them were Oscar movies as well.
Yeah. And movies are the quick way to bolster that list.
Yeah.
What other segments do we do that are okay? We just did an indefensive for our last episode.
Yeah.
I always like those. Even the ones we did like on the sequels or Rocky V, where not our most passionate ones, but I like giving ourselves a challenge to.
I like the challenge.
It's like, well, these aren't the best movies, but what can we say about them that cuts against the grain? Try to be a little positive on the internet for a change. I would never do the opposite of let's tear good movies down. I don't want to be those guys.
There's already so much of that on the internet.
Yeah.
So it's like, let's try. And it's so much fun to be like, let's try to defend Rise of Skywalker as best we can, even though we both do not like those movies.
Yeah, for sure.
It looks pretty.
That it does. Let's see. What else do we do? Let me pull up a list of our segments here.
Yeah. The random debates are fun. I like those ones. Like the last one, I think that I spurred the moment on you was Man of Steel versus original Superman. That was fun to do.
That one was funny for me because you didn't tell me what we were doing.
Yeah, because that was just an idea I had in my head.
Yeah, that's why the debate format started to have to change, because I over-prepare for these things and you don't usually take notes for the shows. So like when it came to like prepared debates, I'd always have a lot more to say. So I wanted to pivot debates, especially more going forward, into just more general discussions on a topic, which we inevitably take different sides on anyway, but or I'll just be the devil's advocate anyway. So going forward, we're probably just going to be more discussions, except for those House of the Dragon kind of episodes where the debates just come by accident. And
just wait till the end of season 2, baby. We'll talk about it.
Then we have occasional episodes on film and TV history, which I like doing those ones just to put out an outlet for my film school knowledge. I had to do film studies for 4 years. I better give you some of that knowledge.
Paid for something. Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely use that here. I want to do more of that one series we did. They don't make blank like they used to. The first one we did was just action movies. But I kind of want to do all the genres at some point. Just talk about how they did old styles of certain genres versus how they make them today. Kind of how genres evolve. I like that segment.
They don't make rom-coms like they used to. Not because they're bad, but they just don't make them.
That too.
I mean, there's only been a couple that's come out recently because there's just kind of been like a low-key surge of asking for them to come out. There's the Anyone But You with... Yeah, and then the No Hard Feelings. Like, those are the two rom-coms I think remember come out. Musicals are the same thing. Yeah.
But they're stealth musicals now.
It's the marketing is so weird. Don't understand it.
It really
even the Wicked trailer, I don't think it showed, even though that is a musical, like one of the most popular musicals to come out in the past 20 years. I don't know if they showed them singing. But the Mean Girls one was so weird because they marketed it as just like a reboot. But in the title card, there was like a note. So it's weird.
There's also I also want to follow up on the history of superhero movies, because that was our 5th episode. And we never
have not done that for like a year.
Oh, it's been nearly 2 years. That was episode 5. We're on episode 100 and we never followed up on that with a part 2. We'll get to that eventually. It's the most dangling thread of Close-Up's career so far.
Yeah.
We started that new segment that I enjoy, the draft pick one. That one has some, I think that one's got some legs in it still. I want to.
Even though you cheated, but that's okay.
You mean the part when.
I'm kidding.
When Rogue, yeah, just with Rogue.
Yeah.
Rogue is my wild card. Oh, well. It was unfair, but you accepted it. I gave you the option.
I did accept it. It's half and half.
Yeah. Then we have probably my favorite segment of the show is Explains. Because that's always a, that one's always a crapshoot because it's,
yeah,
the way I always like to say it is even if you've seen the shows, it's fun for both sides because if you haven't seen the shows, can Ryan or I convince you to watch them? And if you have seen the shows, you get to make fun of us for how poorly we explain them to somebody who doesn't know.
Yeah. That's the fun part of it too. Especially with like stuff we're so passionate about. I think the only one where we didn't convince the either was me trying to convince you to play Halo, which I knew you weren't going to in the first place.
Well, Halo was an extra that was an extra tough sell because you were basically trying to convince me to get an Xbox too.
Yeah. Or you could play it on PC, but
yeah, like that one you're trying to convince me to shift brand loyalty in general, not just play a video game. So that's
yeah. And then I knew I lost you when you were like, oh, so Master Chief's racist to aliens. I was like, no, that's not the point of the games.
Yeah. That one, though, is one I would like to do more follow-up episodes on. It's just we haven't gotten to a point where we've actually consumed enough of the things we've explained to do a follow-up on. The closest one is probably I'm through the first two games of God of War.
Mm-hmm.
The rate I get through video games is still going to take forever, but I have started God of War based on your explanation at the very least. So that one will come eventually. I also plan to get through Game of Thrones, Sons of Anarchy. You did play D&D. We never did a follow-up on it. Maybe that's one to do because you actually have some experience with that now that you could speak to.
Yeah.
But yeah, so those are some of the segments we do. What I really want to do going forward, though, is get into more deep dives, which we've never done in earnest. See, okay, I'm going to let you in on a little secret. We're a little lazy. And there's a lot of topics on our list that require more extensive research than we're willing to put into them week to week. And we just haven't found the time to do the research necessary to make these episodes the best they can be. So I really want to get into more of that on the future, but that would require me actually sitting down and doing more research. Because look, I'm going to level with you guys. Most of this show is just the Monday we record rolls around and it's, so what do you want to talk about this week? Oh, well, this movie just came out.
It's exactly what happened yesterday.
Like, well, Ghostbusters just came out. I don't want to talk about that. Oh. You want to defend the prequels? Yeah, sure. And something vague about a 100th anniversary? Sure. And that's how most of them go. If we have knowledge in our brains that can fill in hours worth of content, that's just a that's just a plus. But it's kind of
we're doing so good for like the first 46, and then it just became like, oh, what the fuck do we talk about? It's funny.
Well, especially the last couple months because there's been no movies really since December that we've wanted to see.
Mm-hmm. So we're not seeing Madam Web. Sorry, guys.
No.
It'd be funny to do a review on it, but we'd just be so miserable.
Yeah. We try. Want to try harder, but yeah. It's also hard to think of general film discussion that not everybody is talking about all the time.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't want to. There was a point when we debated being more of a movie news podcast where it's like, well,
right,
if we don't have any reviews to do, we could talk about Hollywood goings on, celebrity gossip, directors announced or actors or big IP news or whatever. And then we basically scrapped that because trying to be that topical is only going to date all the episodes we do. I like that.
Yeah.
There's a couple of dated episodes for sure. Like when we talked about, will James Gunn's DC thing be good? Will his slate be good? Like, well, that one's not dated yet because he hasn't made any. But generally speaking, most of the episodes we do, they're, you can watch them at any time. It's not so tied to the time and place we did them. You want to watch Book of
Boba
Fett?
Yeah, I think that's what's one still holds the best up. Part about it. Yeah, somehow. Yeah. And it would be cool to get, but just like two more guys' opinions on, you know, film news. And yeah. I think if it's bad, we're going to think it's bad. And if it's good, we're probably going to think it's good. So.
Yeah. We kind of sprinkle that stuff in.
It's not groundbreaking. Yeah. If it's big to talk about, we'll talk about it, but we'll throw it in here and there. Like every time a strike happens or a delay happens, it always has to deal with community for some reason. And I love bringing it up to Joe, and it just gets him even more angry.
Makes me sad. It's one of my favorites.
Apparently the script's finalized.
Good.
So.
See, we sprinkle it in.
I think they started filming. I don't know.
But you see, when it also comes to formatting things, we've had to change. It's kind of on the fly on this show, right? We've had to change up a lot since we first started. Like, speaking of just the way we talk about movies, the very first episode, we tried to spend half the show avoiding spoilers for the Book of Boba Fett. And then in the second half, we just let loose. And editing it, listening to it, it didn't work. Recording it, even, especially, didn't work because we had to hold ourselves back so much, trip over our words when we were already nervous not to say anything when we promised no spoilers. And I, like, basically from episode two, we said, nope, full spoiler podcast. We're not going on an hour.
It's so tough.
And trying
to
hold ourselves back. It's hard enough to do this show without that mental block of, oh, let's try not to say things about the thing we're talking about. It's not worth it. Not when you're doing it off the cuff like this. So that was
big
determiners.
If people go to check out like a full review of a product and not seeing that thing, that's not our fault. You know what I mean? And yeah, there are some like higher up people who do that where they first talk about like no spoilers for 15 minutes and then they just go full spoilers, or even sometimes they'll do a separate spoiler free review and then do a full spoiler thing. We don't have the time or the patience to do to do all that. We just want to talk about what we liked, what we didn't like.
For me, it's also a matter of artistic integrity. My artistic integrity says I'm not spending as long as the movie runs long talking about movies. I'm not doing a whole episode non-spoiler and a whole episode spoiler just to effectively tell you the same things. Like, I think we can get what we have to say done in about an hour. And if not, we've failed as reviewers because it shouldn't take 2 hours to make your point.
No,
except
it
if
really
you're just
shouldn't.
Trying to scream. Unless you're just trying to spread it out for the sake of content. But once again, it's not what we want to do here.
It's not what we do. And the ones that do go over like 2 hours, it's just because there's so much to talk about. And then there's stuff we don't drag out, but we're just passionate about it. Or even if we have two different, it's natural if it goes over time. I don't think we've ever tried to push the time on purpose. Maybe for like, the one-offs, like off-brand topics, but never
at the start of the show, we made a strong effort to try to keep it in under an hour. Some of our episodes were 50 minutes even. And that was largely down to me whining about the editing. Because of the editing process.
Nightmare.
But then over time, it became more apparent that an hour and a half just seemed to be when most of our conversations naturally petered out. Somewhere between an hour and a half, usually. And now we just go by the cadence of the conversation. If it goes 2 hours, it goes 2 hours. Well, if it starts getting at the 2 hour mark, then we start trying to reel it in a bit. Like, okay, don't want to go too much. But I like to think that if you see a 2 hour episode of Close Up, it's a good thing. It's a wow. They had a lot to say. It's not, oh, they're just rambling on and dragging it out for 2 hours. I hope.
Yeah. I used to be really stingy and be like, if it's under an hour, it's not good enough to be a podcast. Especially when I used to listen to some podcasts and there'd be some that were like 35 minutes. And I'm like, what's the fucking point then if like 10 minutes of it is sponsors and it's just ridiculous. But now just kind of like, well, if that's all we have to talk about, then that's all we have to talk about.
Yeah. I do still agree with that in principle. I like to keep them over an hour. We never had a topic yet where we're that short. But
no,
it might come eventually when we run out of ideas and we're just scraping. But then again, that's also kind of what our question of the week segment is for, which you came up with a couple months ago just for marketability. And I think stuff like that's gone well. It has a They usually average about 5 to 10 minutes, have a more condensed discussion of a topic. And see, marketing is another thing about this show. Marketing is hard. I don't like it.
It's so hard.
I don't like wearing so many hats in the company. Like, you do it because we're the only two guys who do this, but marketing is not fun. I don't like It's not fun for me to edit this show in general. Editing is always something I've done more out of obligation than because I like it. And then I have to edit more to get podcast clips for YouTube and TikTok and Instagram. And yeah, it's fun to reminisce on the show after the fact, but while I'm making them, it feels like a chore. And they don't even do necessarily that well. And YouTube Shorts is especially disheartening because I find the like to dislike ratio on YouTube Shorts is way out of whack comparatively. Like we get disliked into oblivion on YouTube Shorts. But then for the same amount of views on TikTok, we have like dozens of likes on there. So I'm like, I don't know why the audiences are so different. Like the response on TikTok and Instagram is so much more positive on the whole than on YouTube.
YouTube's weird. It's a weird one.
Yeah. So seeing those numbers and the analytics, that's, you know, that's hard sometimes, but I also like seeing the view counts go. But that's another thing about this show, right? It's hard to get the view counts up. Because when we first started the show, the rule of thumb was you need about 50 episodes in your back pocket before people decide that, oh, the show is maybe probably not going anywhere. I can add it to my rotation because they want to see longevity in a show. And somewhere between our first and 50th episode, the rule of thumb changed to 100 episodes before anyone will give you a shot. And, well, here we are. I hope to see an uptick soon. From here on, now that we've hit that milestone, remains to be seen, but I can only hope.
It'd be nice.
A good back catalog now.
Mm-hmm. We have quite the back catalog.
100 episodes. I didn't know we'd make it this far.
No.
Like we said at the start.
I thought we would teeter out. I thought we would teeter out like probably past 50 because of all the shit we were trying to be like, hey, what do we talk about this week? And all the like on the fly topics we would do. But we've lasted pretty well.
Yeah. We got a good routine we settled into. And that was another thing at the start too, was how often do we record? Because at the beginning it was, we actually tried to record one episode a week. And then at a certain point we said, this is stupid. Let's just record multiple in a night and get 2 weeks off. That's another one where I think we waited too long before we did that, but it was still early enough that it settled into the routine. Because I don't know if we'd still be doing this if we tried for once a week. We'd never have any free time on a...
No. it'd be ridiculous.
Yeah. I mean, mind you, there's occasional nights where we have to break it up. Like this week, we had to record one last night, and we're doing a separate recording tonight. But usually we just change clothes.
Behind the scenes drama. There's your behind the scenes. I've stopped changing clothes. Yeah. I'm usually in the same like two gray sweaters now. I don't know why. I just don't feel like it.
I changed my clothes. Yeah, I changed my clothes. You change your lights. None of which matters for our audio viewers, but it's to keep up an illusion.
Look at all these lights. And now it's not working. There we go.
We just recorded like 50 episodes in the time Ryan did that. That's...
Oh my God.
However many lights you have.
Cheap Amazon strips. You can get them.
Yeah. Well, on the whole, this podcast has turned me into a more confident person who can better express myself, specifically as regards to movies. It's definitely made me less shy about voicing my opinions on things and just being... not avoiding the controversies either. If we ever disagree on things, I like to lean into it because it's good for the audience and it's good for us to challenge each other too. Just as human beings, the discussion is healthy and entertaining at the same time. It's taught me a lot about editing and marketing, and it's been a great experience on the whole. Just helped me grow generally as a human being and as a creative person, and given me an excuse to revel in more of my favorite entertainment. So all in all, it's been a great 100 episodes, and I'm looking forward to 100 more.
Yeah. Well said. I think I feel the exact same, where it's, I feel more confident in speaking my opinions now because of this podcast, and especially with some of my hot takes and all that. I think my very first hot take happened in the first episode where I said, I don't like Boba Fett as a character, just in general. I don't.
True.
I think he's boring. Which is funny now that I think about it. But yeah, I think it's nice to just sort of feel confident in your opinions and sharing them to you and a bunch of strangers, but also having the knowledge to back it up as well. It's just made me a better speaker in general, with even with people outside of the podcast and just in everyday life. So it's been a fun ride.
Yeah. So do you have a question of the week to end us off?
I do. Mm. Since this is our 100th episode, what do you hope to see happen in the next 100 episodes?
In the next 100 episodes, I hope Daredevil Born Again is good. I don't want to have to do a whole episode saying how much that was a disappointment. I want more guest stars. One, maybe actual interviews with people, not just people coming on the talk, but, you know, not necessarily industry people, but even just our peers who make movies to talk to them about mm-hmm. what they're doing, cross promote, stuff like that, I think would be very good for the show. And it would also help us bolster our interview skills too, which I think if we keep going in film journalism and criticism, could lead us to bigger things in the future. Keep honing our voices as reviewers. Definitely want to keep doing that. Get even better at speaking. And, well, what else do I want to see in the next 100? Well, less tech problems. And off,
I was about
off the
to,
cuff.
I was about to say.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those are good, yeah. I would like to do more sort of bringing in other people as well. I think that would be fun. Even industry people would be fun. It's always been kind of like, I would like to try, not to try to completely switch, but like to see what like an in-person podcast recording would be like.
Oh, yeah.
Just to see like if we can do that. Obviously, we live so far away from each other, so it's impossible to do that every time, but that'd be cool to get to that point. A sponsorship would be sweet.
Sponsorship. 100%. Yeah.
Sponsorship would be sweet. That'd be cool. Probably just more interactions between, you know, other podcasters, like popular ones on the platforms, or like you said, just like connecting with each other, and then just also having discussions about our different opinions too. That always, you know, the cross promotion's great. I would like and try maybe even to like branch out to, if we did get a studio, to like doing live streams of us like watching something, or doing like doing gameplay stuff would be fun as well.
Yeah, that kind of thing. I don't know if that's a next 100 episodes kind of thing, but definitely,
but it's
definitely
a dream.
Eventually would be nice.
It's a dream. Yeah. It'd be fun to do, like, we watch a movie together and it's like a commentary track and we just post that and people can watch the movie with us and listen to our opinions as we're watching it. Which kind of sucks thinking about it, because we're both kind of quiet when watching a movie sometimes because we're trying to take in everything.
Yeah.
But I had another.
That's why I wouldn't mind talking over movies I've seen before, though. Like maybe not for the first time watching, but if it's stuff we've, like you said, you were watching Back to the Future today. Like, yeah, I'll talk over that movie. I've seen it.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
It's my favorite movie. I've seen stuff like that enough times.
Mm-hmm.
Star Wars, I can talk over. I can never be one of those reactors though, who like is reacting for first time watching.
No.
I actually want to watch the movie first time watching.
Shocker.
So don't expect us to become a reaction channel unless the reaction is thought about and delayed and actual review.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Branching out to other forms of media, I think, would be pretty sick. Not media, but media content, I think would be interesting to see if we could try. But, you know.
And speaking of all that, how about I get an actual... And speaking of all that, one thing I'd love in the next 100 episodes is an actual editor. There's a lot more there's a lot more I'd enjoy doing with this show. Like if I got an actual editor to even take that extra hour of work per episode off me, I could devote that hour back into researching for those episodes that we say require more research, right?
Yeah.
It would be, I could make the content of the show better if I had less to do behind the scenes on it. And that's a dream of mine. Somebody to take not just the editing, but the marketing stuff off me too. Edit the show, edit the podcast clips, do the posting, the marketing, deal with fans on social. I mean, yeah, I like to talk to people if we got more people to actually engage. I would definitely answer comments more, but even somebody to just post the clips is time consuming.
Yeah.
That's ours as well. Yeah. So I just want to reinvest my any time I'm saving back into the show and make it even better.
It'd be funny if the editor was Justin. I don't know why.
Yeah, I'm sure he'd do a good job on it. Yeah.
Sure he would.
Yeah, but he's a busy man.
Yeah. Well, you both have the same schedule, which is kind of funny, but
the exact same schedule. I mean, I always joke with him that it's very rare I don't see him. Sometimes I see him 7 days a week.
Yeah. That's pretty funny.
Yeah. Well, that's it.
That's our 100 episode celebration.
Yeah, we made it.
It's fun. Came with all the technical issues, which is great. Very fitting for us. But yeah, fun time. Thanks for listening for 100 episodes if you've been listening to the start. And if this is your first one, what the hell? That's pretty funny. But yeah, thanks for joining. You can find me at Ryan Walker Official on YouTube, TikTok, Instagram, all that jazz.
Yeah. You can find me on Instagram, TikTok, and Facebook at Thought Play Media. Also, check out the Close Up with Ryan and Joe Facebook page for latest updates on the show. If you listen to us in audio, check out our YouTube channel. And if you're on YouTube, find us anywhere you get your favorite podcasts. We hope to see you on Close Up with Ryan and Joe, episode 101. Thank you very much for listening, and hope to see you next time.
Take care.